Well, good evening. How are y'all doing this evening? That's good. Praise the Lord. I'm doing pretty good, too. good to see y'all here, and those of us online, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, I Exalt Thee. God is good. All the time. Good. Amen. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted.
So
Amen. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's here there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory. With the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony when the courts of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody got a pick of him this evening? Little as much when God is in it. That's good. 661, little as much when God is in it. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little as much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Little as much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. And little as much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Amen. Any others this evening? All right. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Well, if you liked if you like Mexican food down on 249 at Los Cucos, that one's no longer there. That one's gone.
Well done now.
It's well done. The gentleman that owns the Mexican seafood, La Vida. Yeah, he owns that Los Cucos. So it'll be interesting to see if he builds back or if he just focuses on the... Really? I've been there for a long time. And La Vida may be a new location, but that Los Cucos has been there long.
Back when the Walmart was in that part, other parking lot.
Oh, really? Wow. Well, anyway, looked like maybe a grease fire got out of control or something. Bless their hearts. That's a tough deal. All right. What do we got for the area of praises? Yes, sir, John.
One announcements, Brother Lee. We got game night.
Okay, game night.
Friday
Saturday
from 6 to 9. Saturday 6 to 9.
Uh-huh. Game night
and,
Saturday 6 to 9.
And then Sunday we have luncheon.
Hamburgers.
Hamburger luncheon on the grounds.
Amen.
After the AM service.
Amen. Hamburger not to be confused with heart burgers, right?
That's right.
Hamburger.
It's good for the heart.
John's buying.
All right, amen. Big money, big money. All right, amen. What else? Any other announcements?
8 Wednesdays left to sign up for Singspiration.
That brother's selling that Singspiration, man. You might want to buy on that Singspiration. Be ready to go sing a song. All right, very good. Any other praises? Anybody got a praise? Hallelujah. All right.
Da-da-da-da. Praise the Lord that just the Lord seems to be working a little bit in Robert's heart. Just we've been talking about things of the Lord some, which is not characteristic for him. And so I think God's just, you know, rolling in his mind and just,
amen.
You know. So I'm thankful for the church for prayers for that.
Amen. All right. Very good. Let's think about these prayer requests then. You got a prayer request?
For Riley, one of the Sunday school girls, she has COVID.
Oh.
And she started feeling sick on Sunday and got a little fever and congestion, all that. Anyway, the mom did a test on her on Monday, and she does have COVID.
Okay.
So we were around her, you know, all weekend, but that's why I'm
sitting. How you feel?
I'm sitting back here, y'all.
How you feel? Do you feel feverish?
No, I feel fine.
All right.
Thank God. But just keep her in prayer and her family. She's being quarantined in her room.
Oh, bless her heart.
All week, missing school, and so.
Yeah. Man, here we go again, huh? With the old COVID. What is this, round 3 or something? Round 4? I don't know. All right, what else? It's a good prayer request. What else? Yes, ma'am, Miss Vicky. All right, those of you with unspoken tonight, lift your hand. Okay, very good. Very good, unspoken. All right. I cannot remember her name now. It just went blank. Bless her heart, little 11-year-old that was tragically raped and murdered, left for dead in a trash bag under her bed. That family, so they grieve the loss of her. They did apprehend the suspect that they think perpetrated the crime. So I think he had fled to Louisiana, and they got him back. So he's been extradited back to Harris County. Grieving the loss. I think they're going to bury her in Guatemala, where she's from. Also, 11 years. What else? Anything else? Awana's starting. All right.
Pray for rain.
Amen. All right. Well, let's do it. Yeah, you got something? What you got?
Jennifer, thank you. Jessica is going for therapy for her treatment-resistant depression, asking for God's protection, and that perhaps it will help.
All right, Jessica is going to therapy, okay? Therapy. For depression. All right.
Just thought about it. Pray for James's vertigo.
James got vertigo again?
I don't know, but he's not here.
Anybody got Frank's number? Frank?
Frank?
Anybody got his number? I want to reach out to that dude, see where he's at.
She adds it's an alternative therapy.
Okay, alternative therapy. All right. Very good. All right. Anything else? Is that it? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer then, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We praise you and thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for saving us and for giving us an opportunity to be here tonight. We do praise you and thank you for air conditioning, Lord. We continue to pray for those that have to work outside in this heat. Lord, we would pray that the heat wave would begin to wind down and begin to break up and go away. And, Lord, the weathermen here are telling us 10 more days. But, Lord, you know you're in control. And this is your weather. And, Lord, you can set it how you want it. And so, Lord, we just pray and you bring the temp down and break this high pressure up. And, Lord, allow some rain to run through here. We are praying for rain. Lord, we pray you'd send it in abundance. Send it in buckets, cats and dog, rain style. Lord, we'd like to have just a bunch of it about now. But, Lord, we pray for those that have to be out in this heat. Pray you watch over them. We do praise you for the AC. We lift up Robert tonight to you. And, Lord, we praise you that he is beginning to be open for spiritual discussions and things of God and things of the Word and things of the Bible. And so, Lord, we just pray that would continue. And we pray that these seeds sown in his heart would begin to bear fruit. And Lord, we pray that he's close to receiving Christ as his personal Savior. And Lord, we pray for his son as well, that he would be saved. And Father God, we know you can and we know you want to. And so, Lord, we just pray that these men, their will would line up with your will, and they would bend the knee and confess the tongue that Jesus Christ is their Savior and Lord. So we continue to pray for them, lift them up. We lift up Riley tonight to you, Lord, recovering from COVID. We pray a hedge of protection around our church, around our members, around our school, around our teachers, around our families that attend school, Lord. We just pray in a hedge of protection around us. You give us protection. You help us stave off that old COVID virus, Lord. I pray that each and every one of us have enough immunity. And, Lord, if we don't, I pray that we be smart enough and, Lord, know where and when to go and when not to go. And Lord, some of us may even need to slap on a mask if we're going in big, heavy public areas, Lord. So whatever we need to do to be smart and stay safe, I pray we would do that. But, Lord, we pray in a hedge of protection around our people. And we pray in that this COVID would not be anything like it has been. Lord, we pray that there wouldn't be a whole lot of life lost. And that, Lord, it's just be another little hiccup down the road. Everybody build up some immunity to it and then just move it on down the road, Lord. So we lift that up to you tonight. We lift up all the unspokens, Lord, as the hands went up and represented an unspoken request. We praise you and thank you, Lord, that we can bring these things to you another week. We can lay them down at the foot of the cross. And we know that you're a God that's in control. You're a God that's sovereign. Your timing's not always lines up with our timing, Lord. And so help us have that faith and give us that patience. And, Lord, we need that peace that passes all understanding sometimes. But, Lord, we're thankful that we can lay these unspokens down at your feet one more service. Lord, we do pray for this this Guatemalan family that's grieving the loss of their little 11-year-old girl taken heinously by rape and murder. And, Lord, we pray that justice would be dealt to the perpetrator or perpetrators. And, Lord, if the one they have in custody is certainly the one that has done it, we don't know until his court, guilty until proven innocent, Lord. But whoever has done this, Lord, we pray for their soul. We pray that you might redeem them and save them and bring them to repentance, Lord. But we know there's going to be time spent, perhaps a lifetime spent in prison because of a bad decision in taking a life and taking it this way. So, Lord, we lift up that family grieving. We pray for the justice system and how it works. And, Lord, we just pray your hand upon all of that as we've seen it unfold on the news. We lift up Awanas to you tonight, Lord, and we rejoice and are excited that we're getting to see that kick back off here in just a couple weeks. And so, Lord, we're praying for workers. We're praying for a good attitude amongst the kids and the children. And, Lord, we're praying that you might just sow the seed of the gospel in as many hearts as possible, Lord, and through this scripture memorization and Bible games and everything, story. Lord, we pray you might bring some young people to a saving knowledge of who you are. And, Lord, you might reach some families with the gospel. So, Lord, we're looking forward to another good year with Awanas. And, Lord, we're just praying for a great kickoff, a great safe kickoff. And, Lord, we lift that up to you. We lift up Ronnie to you tonight. We pray for Ronnie Holman, Lord, and his cancer. We pray you might remove that cancer from him. bring healing to his body. Help him, Lord, get past it. We just pray for him and Nancy, Lord. Watch over them. Help them. We lift up Ronnie Vaculik to you tonight, Lord, and his health issues. We pray you touch his body. Be with him. John Thornhill, Lord, we're praying for his back and his health issues, Lord. We pray you might touch his body as well. We lift up our shut-ins to you. We're thankful, Lord, we have some of them online with us tonight. We're thankful that we're able to get and visit some, Lord, that want to receive a visit. We praise you and thank you for the time we get to spend just fellowshipping and just having prayer and just trying to catch up from month to month. So we praise you and thank you for that. Lord, we lift up Jennifer's daughter, Jessica, Jennifer and John's daughter, Jessica. As she gets ready to try this alternative therapy for depression that has since been treatment resistant. Lord, we pray for a breakthrough in Jessica's life. We pray you might help her, Lord. Give her wisdom, discernment. Give the treatment team and the physicians, the doctors that are treating her, Lord, give them wisdom and discernment as well. And we just pray you would help her with what she's struggling with, and Lord, you might see her through. And then, Lord, we lift up old James to you tonight. This vertigo he's experiencing, we pray you might lessen that, help him do what he needs to do and get done what he needs to get done without that nauseating feeling of dizziness. So, Lord, we lift James up to you tonight. Pray for my mother tonight. Pray you might touch her and help her, Lord, as she adjusts to that new medication. And, Lord, we pray you just give her rest and help her just keep on keeping on. And so, Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for our country. We pray for our government. Lord, we pray for our president and his cabinet. And, Lord, we pray for both houses of Congress tonight. Lord, we pray that there would be a stirring and a Christian agenda come out and come forth and laws passed, Lord, that would not infringe upon our rights to do what we're doing here tonight. We're thankful that we can bring a Bible study and talk about God and Jesus and grace and holiness and everything that entails. So we thank you for that freedom tonight. We praise you for it. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, we're in Leviticus chapter 19 as we continue on in our series of messages on the book of Leviticus. And the last time we were talking about the two primary commands. And these two primary commands, they deal with this thing called holiness, right? Holiness. We said our passage contains two primary commands which we have mentioned in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, if you want to look at that. It says, speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Online folks, we're in Leviticus 19, 2. And then online folks, thank you all for being with us tonight. We're also in Leviticus 19, 18. It says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall what? What does it say? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord, right? So these two primary commands, 19:2, 19:18, both of which we talked about, are taken up in the New Testament. And what we have been saying, we said we must understand these commands if we are to grasp the force of the text, this chapter 19. We really got to grasp what's going on here, right? And we said we can do this by focusing our attention on two matters. And we talked about, number one, the first matter is the necessity of holiness. And number two, we talked about the nature of holiness. So when we say the necessity of holiness, we said the necessity of holiness is found in the first primary commandment of 19:2 that we just read. And we noted several factors relative to this command. Now, I'm not going all the way back through it, but just the high points. The necessity of holiness is seen by the fact that the entire nation of Israel is commanded to be what? To be holy. Amen? Right? Thus, holiness is not an option, but holiness is an imperative. It's a command. We said the command also provides a motivation for holiness. We said there is also a provision for the holiness which God required of his people. And finally, we said God himself provided the pattern for holiness. Now, that's the necessity of holiness, right? If we're really going to grasp these two things, we said what? We got to get the necessity and we got to get the nature of holiness. And so we covered the nature of holiness. We said holiness involved obedience to the commandments of God, right? We said holiness involves sacrifice in that it is costly, right? We said holiness was more than a matter of observing religious rituals. It was intensely practical piety involving a wide variety of actions as a part of one's everyday life, right? That's what we said. We fourthly said holiness is the imitation of God. There it is showing up again in the nature of holiness. Talked about the necessity of holiness there. And then fifthly, we said holiness was here to be revealed positively rather than negatively. And we brought out that compare and contrast, and we applied that how? We applied that the positive and negative dimensions of God's holiness can be seen in what? In the two comings of Christ. First time Jesus came, his first advent, did Jesus come to judge? He came to save, right? The second advent, which is future still yet, when he comes back the second time, what's he going to do? He's going to judge, right? He's going to judge and reign. That's exactly right. And so we see the two dimensions, positive and negative, of God's holiness seen in the two advents of Christ's coming. Now, as we begin this evening, we're finishing up the nature of holiness. We've covered the necessity of it. We've reviewed both of them a little bit. And so we begin by saying this in regards to the nature of holiness. Finally, or sixthly, and most emphatically in Leviticus 19, holiness is practiced by loving one's neighbor as oneself. That's how it's practiced. Now, what do y'all think about that? Is that something you think you want to do? You shall not take vengeance. I'm reading verse 18. You shall not take vengeance, but bear any grudge against the sons of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Is that something we want to do? Love our neighbor? You don't want to do it? Well, you must love your neighbor. My neighbor right next door, he's retired, Houston PD. I think he said 31 years with Houston PD, Houston Police Department. I think he may know your brother somehow, some way. But anyway, this is a guy, I think we talked about him several weeks ago. He was cutting his grass, and he got something in his eye, and he wears those contacts. He went to get that contact out. He scratched his eye, and in the midst of scratching his eye, he had some kind of fungus on his hand that he had gotten from doing the yard work, and the fungus took root and started growing in the cornea of his eye. And then him and his wife went to Atlanta, Georgia for a little bucket list trip, see some friends. And she kept giving him those steroid drops that she had from a previous eye condition. Wasn't prescribed to him, but she thought they'd help. And they only made the matter worse, right? And we thought he was going to lose his eye. There was a point in time where she was having to put prescribed drops to him, drops in his eye every 20 minutes. Every 20 minutes. And he was taking... He was tag teaming Advil with Tylenol every, whatever, 4 hours or however that works, with the pain and everything. Well, finally, around lunchtime, I saw him outside today. I walked up to him. I said, Ted, how's the eye? And he said, well, Steve, it's a whole lot better. He pulled off his glasses. I said, that looks like an eye, man. His eye's doing good, right? But what? Concern for our neighbor, right? I've got a neighbor across the street. Two kids. I don't know what to do about this one. I don't know what to do. Because we're not real close. They live across the street. We were close to the neighbors before them, but the neighbors before them, they were the two vet teachers down at Lone Star. Been there for like 30-something years. Remember their names? Jeremiah? Yeah, George, and come on, pull it out. You remember everything. That's it, and his wife, yeah. The youngers, yeah, we were real close to them. We had cats that would fight each other, and it was kind of humorous. our two cats would get together, their cat and our cat, and they'd, no, there wouldn't be a speck of blood on either one of them. But boy, they talked a big game going up in the air, and then they'd come back down and that. So we used to have a big time at that. But they're gone, and a new family's been in there probably, I'd say 6 or 7 years. We've seen the kind of the two kids grow up, and both of their kids are in high school, and I saw a teary-eyed mama hugging her junior, I think he may be a senior in high school, and I've seen the boy walking to school every day. Of course, that ain't a big feat where we live. You just walk around the street, and you're into the high school property, but he's got a car, and he's not driving it. And I saw his mama kind of teary-eyed and hugging him. And the point I'm trying to make is I haven't seen his daddy in 3 weeks. Hadn't seen his daddy, hadn't seen his dad's car. Another retired PD officer living over here in the cul-de-sac, catty corner to me. He goes, "Hey, have you seen Ricky?" Ricky's his name. I go, "I haven't seen Ricky." I go, "Man, I want to go check, but I don't want to look like I'm being what?" Yeah. Yeah, but what I saw today, I don't know. I may have to go be the nosy neighbor and just find out how we or people in the neighborhood or whatever can help him, right? Because if he's gone, ain't keeping that house. I can tell you that. So, anyway, takes two incomes, don't it? Yeah, usually. So, concern, love for our neighbor. We want to do that because, number one, it gives testimony of who we are in Christ. And number two, just because they live across the street or next door to us, God loves them just as much as he loves me. Right? God loves them just as much as he loves. God died on the cross for them just like he died on the cross for me. And so, they get all the benefits of mercy and grace just like I do. And so if God wants to use me as a conduit, as a vessel, to reach out to them, they may, listen, man, they may not be like me. They may not go to church. They may, party like it's 1999 or something. They may do whatever, but they still what? They still need God. Right? And you never can tell, friend, when somebody's down and you come over, you're not trying to rub their nose in it. You're not trying to make yourself look better than them, but you're trying to reach out to them and help them. You may get some Jesus off in that deal. Amen? Yeah. Remember, there are two primary commandments in chapter 19. The command to be holy, just talked about it. The command to love one's neighbor as oneself. There is a direct relationship, is what I want you to see tonight, a direct relationship between these two commands, as I believe I understand the chapter. Now, you may be able to teach this better to me. I mean, I've been studying it all week, but you may have some insight that I don't have. But what I have got out of it is this. The holiness of God is demonstrated by his people as they love their neighbors. Right? The term neighbor, as other theologians have pointed out, guess what now, friend? It has a wide range of meaning in this chapter. We're going to look at that just right quick. Now, so what does neighbor mean in this context? Well, one's neighbor is one's fellow countryman. Look at verse 11 of Leviticus 19. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. That's talking about your fellow countrymen. Look at verse 17. It says, you shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but you shall not incur sin because of him. So our neighbor is one's fellow countrymen. But one's neighbor is also an alien or a foreigner. Boy, isn't that a hot topic today in the news? Aliens and foreigners. Verse 10 again, it talks about you shall not steal or deal falsely with him, right? And then look at verses 32 and 33. You shall rise up before am I in the right? Yeah, I am. 32. Yeah. You shall not rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged. You shall revere your God. I am the Lord. Verse 33. When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him. Will you say it? What? Vex him? Anybody else have another word? Wrong? You shall not do him wrong. You shall not vex him. That's good. Verse 34. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Right? So one's neighbor are those who are not just aliens and foreigners. One's neighbor is not just people who are a countryman with us. One's neighbor are not just right like next door to us, but one's neighbor are those who are weak and vulnerable. Weak and vulnerable. 14, you shall not curse a deaf man, nor place a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. And then one that we probably don't want to think about tonight is that one's neighbor is also our enemy. Verses 17 and 18. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but you shall not incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So what can we say? What can we say about this comprehensive definition of what neighbor means in chapter 19? Well, we can say that this chapter, thus God, right? You believe God's in this chapter, right? He's right. He's telling us what's going on here. We can say that this chapter, thus God, is saying that holiness is not manifested only by one's loving one's neighbor. That's not the only way we manifest holiness, but the Bible is here emphasizing, I believe, that holiness must include an active love for one's neighbor. You see that? Anybody? Ooh, it's like, amen. I got an amen back here, girl. All right. See, we are to model God in that God's holiness is seen in his love for Israel in the Old Testament and for the world in its weakness and need in the New Testament. You can see God's holiness in the New Testament, can't you? Right? His helpful holiness, his positive holiness, and sending his son Jesus to a world that's in need. Yes, amen? So God's people must demonstrate God's holiness as they show love for their neighbors, especially those in need. I hope that makes sense to you tonight. So we've looked at holiness in the Old Testament. We've looked at holiness in chapter 19. And now let's pivot a little bit, because this is what we always do as we go through these chapter studies. Let's look at our topic in light of the New Testament. So holiness in the New Testament. Now, as I pointed out at the beginning of this chapter 19 study, the New Testament takes up both of these commands in 19:2 and in 19:18. Both of them are going to be found in the New Testament. Both of them are going to occur over and over again. Our Lord, referring to the command of Leviticus 19:2, said this in Matthew 5:48, Sermon on the Mount. He said, therefore you are to be perfect. Notice he's changed the word. Notice, therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 5:48. Now, while the term perfect is exchanged for the word holy, the text he's referring to is obviously our text before us this evening. Incidentally, the term perfect is not a bad definition of holy either. Now, we know we can't be perfect like Jesus, but we can seek to be like Jesus. Amen? We can seek to be like him. Our commands from Leviticus 19, other commands from Leviticus 19 are also taken up by our Lord as well. Now, the second primary command of Leviticus 19 required that God's people love their neighbor as themselves. And in the context of chapter 19, we see very clearly that the Israelites' enemies were included in the broad category of neighbor. And so too, loving one's enemies is taught by our Lord. Again, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:44, the Word of God says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Right? Do we do that? Amen. We should do that, right? Amen. Isn't it interesting as we go through these first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, isn't it interesting? Every time we get into a study like this, it always ties us back to where? Sermon on the Mount. Jesus, right? Sermon on the Mount. I've said before, and I'll remind you of it again, you can take the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You can basically divide it into five teachings. And when you go to the first five books of the Bible, what do you have? Five books. And so for the New Testament believer, what is our Torah? It's the Sermon on the Mount. Amen? Don't ever miss that point. We got our own Sermon on the Mount. We got the Sermon on the Mount, the original. We got Jesus' revised, condensed Sermon on the Mount, five teachings in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Don't ever forget that. That'll take you a long, long way, Sermon on the Mount. Amen? You memorize them first three, those three chapters, you'd be knocking some home runs for the Lord. Amen, amen. Right, now, other commands, what we're talking about. Leviticus 19:17. The people of God were taught, Leviticus 19:17, if you want to look on it there, says, "You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but you shall not incur sin because of him." So also in the Lord's teaching in Matthew 5:21-26 and Matthew 18:15-17, the individual who has been wronged must seek to bring reconciliation and thus to restore love and harmony with his neighbor. Now let's look those two passages up. I know you know them. I know you know those two passages, but let's just get them in our mind's eye. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5:21. Okay, I'll read it here. Matthew 5:21. Have you found it? You have heard the ancients were told, "You shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." 5:21, here we go. 23, "Therefore, if you're persecuting or offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you." What does it say? It says, "Leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering." Right? 25, "Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer and you be thrown into prison." Then 26, "Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent." And then if we'll flip on down the road, getting out of the Sermon on the Mount, but still sticking with Jesus' teaching here, Matthew 18:15, it says, "If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." But what does that mean in the context of what we're talking about tonight? You still got to love him. Amen? You still got to love him. "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." So those two passages. So in the Lord's teaching in Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:21-26, Matthew 18:15-17, the individual who's been wronged must do what? Must seek to bring reconciliation and thus to restore love and harmony with his neighbor. Yes, yes? And so the Lord Jesus taught that the command to love one's neighbor as himself is summarized half of the law, and I'll read this. You can turn here if you want to. I'm going back to Matthew. Matthew 22. You know this passage. All these passages you know. We're just hitting some high points you already know. The Lord Jesus taught that the command to love one's neighbor as himself summarized half the law. Look at Matthew 22:39-40. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, right? On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Now, with this, what Jesus has said, what Jesus has taught, with this, Paul, the writer of 13 epistles in your Bible, the apostle Paul, the great church planner, right? Paul, the one that shipwrecked, beaten, and old Paul couldn't see very well. Paul, thorn in the flesh, Paul agreed. And in Romans 13:9 and Galatians 5:14, this is what he said. Romans 13:9 says, "For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then again in Galatians 5:14, writing to the church at Galatia, he says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Wow! Now, the Apostle Peter also referred to Leviticus 19:2 as the foundation for his call to holy living, where he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 and 16, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which you were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Right? Now, what does that bring us to now? What does that bring us to? That brings us to where we'll be tonight, where we're going to end tonight, where we're going to pick it up Sunday evening. That brings us to this thing called, are you ready for it? I hope you're ready, because this is what goes on, all right? And that is some perversions to holiness. Now, we talked a little bit about this at the beginning of this chapter study, right? And Pastor Steve says he's really concerned that some people don't know what holiness is. But what's even worse is misunderstanding it and misapplying the whole thing to your life, right? So let's talk about some what? Some perversions to holiness. Now, who do you think wants the church or Christians to have perverted views of holiness? Who do you think that might be? That'd be the devil and the demonic. Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Satan would want to deceive people, the people of God, people in general, with regard to the true nature of holiness. Now, the Scriptures, along with the history of the church, have recorded a number of ways in which holiness has been distorted. Been dealing with it this week. It's come up this week, I'm telling you. It just, you end up living what you preach, I'm telling you. You get to apply it to your own life. Let's talk about some of these misconceptions and distortions of holiness. The first one we would call stained glass holiness. What in the world do you mean by that, preacher? Stained glass holiness. Stained glass holiness is the view that restricts holiness to the realm of the ceremonial. All right? Stained glass holiness, we put it in layman's terms. Stained glass holiness is the Sunday go to church holiness. Well, I'm going to be holy when I go there, right? Or at least when people are looking at me, I'm going to be holy while I'm there. You know, but as soon as I get out of there, man, I'm doing my deal, right? Righteousness, the righteousness ends at those doors. And how I run my life begins as soon as I step onto that parking lot. That's what you call stained glass holiness. Now, there's also ceremonial holiness. It thinks of holiness only in terms of special days. You know, that's where people can completely be devoid of any kind of religious activity or church experience or Bible reading or prayer or anything, and then show up a couple of special days a year. CEO believers or CEO Christians, they are referred to. What is that? Christmas and Easter only. Yeah, there you go. You understand what I'm talking about, right? Ceremonial holiness, right? Special holy places and special holy activities. Well, stained glass and ceremonial holiness tends to divorce righteousness in everyday living from religious activities and ceremonies. I mean, you know, if we're not going to walk it or live it, I mean, we might as well just go sign up and be Catholic and come in and do my confession and say my Hail Marys and go on back out in the world, live the way I want, and then come back and do my contrition and confess to my priest and get what I need to do to take care of it and just keep living the way I want to live and just keep going through the motion and keep one foot in and one foot out and one foot in and one foot out and just riding the fence. You're going to get chafed if you ride that fence long enough. You're going to chafe you. Going to catch up to you, right? Well, would you know that this error of separating righteousness from daily living, separating holiness from daily living, that occurred very early in the history of Israel. It occurred very early. And it has persisted through the centuries. What's going on now is nothing new. It's all just recycled mumbo-jumbo stuff, right? But it occurred very early in the history of Israel, and it was condemned very early by the prophets of Israel. For example, the prophet Amos wrote in Amos chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, and then we'll not read all of chapter 5, but it goes chapter 5, 11 and 12, and then we'll jump down to verses 21 and 24. But Amos 5, 11 says, "Therefore, because you impose heavy rent on the poor and exact a tribute of grain from them, though you have built houses of well-hewn stone, yet you will not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, yet you will not drink their wine. For I know your transgressions are many and your sins are great. You who distress the righteous and accept bribes and turn aside the poor in the gate." So what's the point here? What's Amos saying? Well, he's not loving. They're not loving some people. They're not loving their neighbors as themselves is what Amos is saying. So when you jump down to verse 21 and 24, now they're religious, don't get me wrong. But they're not loving their neighbor as themselves. Everybody see that? So verse 21, 24, Amos 5, this is what it says. It says, I reject your festivals, nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer up to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And I will not even look at the peace offerings of your fatlings. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not even listen to the sound of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. You know, I don't think we're in more of a dangerous predicament when we separate righteousness from our lives and we only have a pretend type righteousness when we're at church. I don't think we're ever more desperate situation than that. Because it's a facade, it's a fake. It's not even close to being genuine. And we can fool each other. Don't get me wrong, we can fool each other, but you will not fool God. You will not fool God. They didn't. And if they didn't, I'm telling you, you're not either. Amen? Well, I hate to leave it there. That's not a negative note, is it? I mean, the positive. Let's think about the positive. Let's look for a neighbor to love the rest of this week. Amen? There should be plenty of things, plenty of people, and plenty of situations to love between now and Sunday. Amen? We can't fix everything. We can't fix everybody. But we can sure extend a little love here and there and be an encouragement to somebody. Amen. Don't you need a little encouragement when you're down? Right? Anybody ever taste dirt? Yeah. I was a little guy, and we had a little play obstacle course. Remember them Lincoln Log obstacle courses? We had one at Fair Meadows Elementary in the backside, and they had that pea gravel. Remember that pea gravel, right? I don't know why they thought that would be soft to fall on, but they had it. And we would always gather there before school started. You know, that was a different time and a different day. That school is, believe it or not, but that school is still standing. And I went to school there back in the 70s, 76. What was that, the bicentennial of this great nation? I was rolling through there. I want to say I was a third or fourth grader, something like that. Maybe younger, second grader. And but anyway, we were playing back there, and we got in a Russell tussle, and I was so skinny as a little kid. Well, how skinny were you? Man, I was so skinny that I had to run around in the shower to get wet. That's how thin I was. Well, I had bumped into somebody or done something, and normally I was a foot to no good, but this one morning I was minding my own biz, but I bumped into this old big boy, and he took me. He was the same grade. He might have been a grade older. He took me, and I'll never forget, he was a Cub Scout, but he was like three times my size. And he took me and turned me around and grabbed me by the back of the neck, and he planted my face in that pea gravel, right? And I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. And I'll remember, old Bentley Rogers was a grade ahead of me, lived across the street. Bentley was about that time tooling up on his bike, and he slammed that bike. I remember that bike hitting that bike rack, and I heard his feet in that pea gravel, and Bentley was smaller than that guy too, but he got that old boy off of me. Amen. That was my neighbor. My neighbor helped me out. He loved me. Amen? His mama was like a second mama. It was something. Let's pray it out. Amen? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for neighbors that love us and help us. And Lord, we want to be the same back. Lord, there's neighbors everywhere that need love. Countrymen and foreigners and those that have a lot less than us. Lord, help us see the need. Help us take the time. Help us spend the love into their life. And perhaps even so, Jesus, for an encounter of the gospel, perhaps even maybe, Lord. You know what you want to do with us. I just pray we'd be submissive and submit. And Lord, I pray that we would think about this holiness and we would seek to work it out in our own lives. Past these four walls and past these two doors. Help us, God. Help us be something close to what we say we are when we're together. Help us be more like you. Thank you for loving us and for saving us, Lord, and for using us and for giving us and for accepting us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. You folks are dismissed. You know what? The days are getting shorter. But the days are still hot. 107 tomorrow. 107.